This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm recording right next to my producer slash co-host.
Wow.
Barry.
It only took five years. It only took 5 years, but now it's true. I am a co-host.
I'll give you the title. Sure. You're on you've been on enough episodes that you could get co-host title.
It's truly just an honor and a privilege to be back breathing the same air as you.
It's true. Now that we have given enough time for all of the little COVID viruses in my apartment to die off, you walked into my apartment and I immediately introduced you to my two positive COVID tests that are sitting
like a little museum.
Yeah, those are commemorative, collectible, limited edition items.
Oh, they're going to be worth millions one day.
Potentially. Do you know how much I would pay for like Tom Hanks's positive COVID test?
Oh, that one especially. I mean, he was patient zero.
Yes, he was. who fucked the bat? Tom Hanks. Today, we're kicking things off a little differently. As you know, we're changing up the format of the show a little bit. So we're going to start off with a little banter, a little ranting amongst us friends.
We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, we want to keep these intros tight, like my asshole, okay? So we want to get right into the things that we hate that everybody else loves, things that you hate that everybody else loves.
Ooh.
Right after this intro. More on that soon. And then, of course, we got Worst Things First, where I shout about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into TikTok trends that I can't stand. I have teased this deep dive for a while now because my addiction to TikTok is getting stronger and stronger every single day, and I'm finally ready to talk about it. I've had a long-running note on my phone where I've kept track of all of the TikTok trends that I absolutely hate. And finally, we'll get to our chasers, as always, the stuff that's making us feel good this week. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. As we announced last week, you know, we're greedy bitches. We want to have more mic time for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not having guests on the pod every week, but we also want to hear more from you, our listeners.
Yeah.
This is a community.
It is. And we didn't want to just leave the amazing question, what's one thing you hate that everyone else loves, just for guests. And if we're not going to have guests on as frequently, we're like, what if we ask you guys about that?
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to check out the Instagram because I'm going to start asking that question more regularly. Also, you can call our rant hotline and leave a rant whenever you want, but also feel free to answer that question there. And then we're going to start peppering in our intros to rant a little bit with you. And also Matt and I will bring our own things that we hate that everyone else loves, or just the things that are really bogging us down this week in our intros as well. It's going to be a great time.
Okay, so something that really pissed me off this week, and this is a type of thing that you like can't complain about anywhere, which is why
unless
I have
you have
a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
As everybody who is poor knows, okay, Southwest Airlines has a policy for boarding the airplane, mm-hmm. unlike any other plane, which is you get a boarding number,
right?
And you board in order. There's the A group, B group, C group.
Yep.
It's numbered 1 through 60. Everybody is supposed to line up in order and board the plane roughly in that order.
Right. And you're then putting, once you're on the plane, though, it's just like a free-for-all,
yeah,
right?
It's just like a bus. It's like you're putting way too much faith in the public. We're like, if the past 2 years have taught us anything, it's that people cannot be trusted. Mm-mm. We cannot rely. We do not live in a society.
We barely know our alphabet.
Yeah. No. First of all, people can't count. People can't sing the alphabet. Everybody knows that the person who's responsible for teaching our youth about the alphabet, Elmo, has lost his fucking mind.
I love everyone's obsession with Elmo, especially because I just hung out with my niece and nephew who are appropriately obsessed with him because they are what? Children.
Yeah. And a full-blown rock has driven Elmo into complete insanity. So nobody knows how to count, how to tell the alphabet. You're also counting on people to like communicate with one another in order to be like, oh, what number are you? Can I stand in front of you? Mm-mm. It's very awkward, especially as a Midwesterner, because I'm like, I'm never going to stand up for myself.
No.
Anyway, I was like A35, which is towards the front of the like one half. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and the guy said, okay, it's time for the A group to board. And this entire family, it was like two parents and like four kids, just kind of like bum rushes the door. Is bum rushes an okay phrase?
I don't know, but I want it to be.
They just immediately push past everybody.
Uh-huh.
And there was another woman who was behind me, who was like A40 something, who came up and was like, what are you guys doing? You just barge past everybody. And they were like, don't talk to us.
Wow. She was like, you're budging.
Yeah. And she was like, this is not how it works. There's an order to this. And the woman was like, don't tell us what to do.
Oh, no.
I think they genuinely did not understand the process.
Right.
And I was like, I don't really want to get involved in this. But also I'm pissed because now not only are they in front of me, but she's in front of me and I have a higher number than they.
Do you think they were actually working together? They were trying to get her in front, too.
The shitty
it
thing
was all
also
against you.
Was that they literally made an announcement and said there's only 50 passengers on this plane. Like, we're all going to get our own row. Why are you rushing the door? And that's why I was like, I don't really care because, okay, what is this family? Like, they're not going to, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a very long rant about how I got cut in line on the Southwest airplane queue, and it was very upsetting to me.
I'm so sorry.
And what made it even worse was that the woman who decided to like stand up for us, she took the seat that I really wanted.
Wow.
And I would have been, if everybody had followed the rules, I would have been in that seat because I would have boarded before all of them.
Karma.
And it's the emergency row seat that has no seat in front of it because I have long legs and I would like that.
Wow.
Maybe my back would not have been fucked up.
Probably not. You know what? It's probably actually the stress from that whole situation that caused your back to go out.
True. The only good karma was that when we landed, I saw that family waiting for their baggage and they absolutely got scammed into taking one of those people who stands around the baggage and is like, I'll give you a ride. I'll give you a ride. And I watched it happen. I was like, good, you deserve this.
Oh my God. You should make sure that there's no like missing family posters right now.
I saw an entire family get trafficked and was like, good. Anyway, do you have anything that you hate this week that you particularly want to get off your chest?
I do have something that I want to talk about from this week.
Okay.
I think it's affecting the nation, and that is that there are no good countertop dish racks. Because I've tried a lot of different ones, mm-hmm. and I settled on one that's just like kind of a little pad that you can machine wash. And then it has like a little plastic thing so that you can, you know, put a cup there and have it be a little more secure.
Uh-huh.
But I was just like putting some of the dishes that I have to hand wash away on that thing. And then, oops, one measuring cup pushed over the French press just a little bit and it tipped over and it just cracked fully open, bottom fully open. And I was like trying so hard not to buy coffee every day. So I was like, French press. And the first day that I'm home and I use my goddamn French press, it fucking breaks.
Wait, the French press broke?
Yeah.
It's glass?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I thought they were all metal.
No.
Fancy glass French press.
The metal is the part that like the glass comes in.
Oh,
but the
I'm
base
thinking of the one that's like
the glass.
Two parts.
Oh, no. I don't know how to do that's like an espresso thing. I don't know how to do that. But yeah, so that just tipped over. And I'm just like, there's no good dish rack that is good for a countertop.
Yeah, I just broke a glass today because I had two glasses that were like nested together, and I must have put them together when there was a little bit of moisture and they like fused together.
Oh my God, science is crazy.
I tried pulling them apart and they just shattered in my hands.
Good. Are you okay? Did you bleed?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I was really proud of myself for, instead of just picking up the bigger pieces and like leaving the kitchen, I did move everything and take a sponge and a flashlight. I mean, my phone flashlight. This is like a corner of my kitchen where the light doesn't really hit, and like actually cleaned up all the teeny tiny particles of glass because I was like,
oh no, I don't do that.
I know. I was really proud of myself for doing that. I almost let it go. And then I was like, most likely what would happen is Alex would accidentally get cut and then I would feel bad. Uh-huh. So I did it for him. What an amazing girlfriend I am.
Sure.
Where's my prize?
Not stabbing your boyfriend. Well, let's put our newscaster hats on. It's time for Worst Things First.
Do newscasters wear hats?
Yep.
Cool.
Newsies hats.
Oh!
All right, worst things first. Let's chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. First, two women in Clearwater, Florida.
Only in Florida.
Clearwater, by the way, which is the Florida of Floridas.
Right, exactly.
Two women have been charged with felony burglary after allegedly breaking into a man's apartment and using containers of glitter as weapons.
You know what I have to say to that?
She arose. So here's what happened. Some man was apparently standing on his balcony when two women, Sarah and Caitlin.
Of course. Just,
yeah, the two most white woman names that you could possibly imagine, both in their late 20s.
How do you spell Caitlin here?
K-A-I-T-L-I-N.
I actually don't know if there's even a right way to spell Caitlin.
No, you can use every letter of the alphabet to spell Caitlin. They arrived at this guy's apartment complex just before 3 a.m. on a Monday. Okay, sir, what are you doing out on your balcony at 3 a.m., sus?
Yeah. Well, you wake up from a nightmare and you have to go outside to take a fresh breath of air because you're scared.
Yeah. Sir, it sounds like maybe you should be inside. Maybe in Clearwater, Florida, where you want to be abducted by aliens? That's where Scientology.
Yeah.
Anyway, the women started arguing with him. I'm just guessing like Romeo and Juliet style.
If there's a balcony involved, there's no other way.
So yeah, they were like, Romeo, fuck you. And he was like, fucking roses or some shit. Why is a rose called that even?
Direct quote, Shakespeare, look it up.
So then Sarah decides to throw a container of glitter at him, strikes him in the upper torso and head, which I don't know what glitter was in. Like if you go to Michael's, Joann's, any of the stores, you're not buying glitter in like steel containers.
Right.
You're buying glitter in like, at most, a heavy plastic.
Right. The only other thing I'm thinking of is, are they using the term glitter when they really mean like a confetti gun? You know what I mean?
They're saying containers of glitter.
Yeah.
So I think it is an entire container.
Yeah. So it doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
I'm guessing that they like open, if I were doing this, I would buy like, you know, they sell things of glitter, like a thing of Parmesan cheese.
Yes.
And, you know, it has the one side that's got some of the holes and then the one side that's got bigger opening
for the spoon.
For pouring. Yeah. If I were doing that, I would buy that container, unscrew it entirely, and then just throw the whole container.
There we go.
And so not only would it strike the person, but then it would explode everywhere.
Brilliant. But what did they do?
It sounds like they basically did that. So they threw a container of glitter at him. They struck him in the upper torso and head. Sarah then climbed over the balcony railing, entered the guy's apartment, started throwing more containers of glitter at him. I'm assuming that she had them in a sort of like belt, like a grenade.
Yes, of course.
She then unlocked the front door to let Caitlin in. Once inside, Caitlin also started throwing containers of glitter at the guy.
Love these like ROTC girls who are like going to use our weapon training for good.
Yeah, they went to Michael's with coupons and they bought every container of glitter. Then as they were leaving, Sarah kicked one of his windows until it broke.
Oh, my God.
So then they fled. Police track down the vehicle, get this, to where they live. They didn't like stow their shit anywhere. It's like always hide the getaway car.
Do you not listen to Unhappy Hour, Sarah and Caitlin? You sound exactly like the kind of people who listen to this podcast.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you learn from us?
Police, I guess they tracked them down so quickly that the car was still warm and was covered in glitter.
I mean, that's never going away.
Yeah, that's the problem with using glitter as a weapon, is that like you were immediately identifiable.
It's basically like throwing sperm everywhere. It's like it's going to be linked to you.
This is literally a plot point in Yellow Jackets.
Really?
Where there's like a crime that gets committed, and as they're chasing this guy through a clothes store, he falls and gets glitter all over him. And then they're like, find the person who has got glitter on it. Anyway, they were just nominated for a Writers Guild Award. So they arrested both of the women, but their motive is unclear. It is unclear whether they even knew this man.
This was just a random attack. I definitely assume this was like an ex-lover.
It's gotta be.
I hope it is.
I think it's like, as of this reporting, they don't know who, what the connection is, but it's like, yeah, if these, it has to be an ex.
We will be following up.
I will. We will get them on the pod. I will call the Clearwater Jail myself. Next, a court in California upheld the firing of two LA police officers who ignored a call about an active robbery because they were playing Pokemon Go.
This is where our tax dollars go.
Not mine. Okay, I don't live in California.
True.
The original incident happened back in 2017. So these two men, they claimed at the time that they didn't hear the call about an active robbery at a mall. But there was an in-car recording of their conversation that revealed that they had heard it. They spoke about it to one another and decided not to respond to the call. According to the transcript, by the way, their names are Lozano and Mitchell, which are the two most cop names
Incredible.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
Lozano reportedly said, "Ah, screw it."
Honestly, I respect that energy, except for the fact that he's a cop and it's about a crime. But, you know, like in my job, I would like to have that energy. Just kidding, guys. Don't worry.
You know how many times I say I'm not going to do my job because I'm playing a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or doing something else.
Watching TV.
Exactly. 5 minutes later, Mitchell allegedly told Lozano that a Pokemon character known as Snorlax was spotted nearby.
I mean, that's just one. You got to catch them all. And two, Snorlax is the perfect reason to snore on your job. Like, come on.
It's very fitting.
It is a fitting Pokemon for
No other Pokemon would have sufficed for this story.
No.
For about the next 20 minutes, the officers could be heard on the in-car recording discussing Pokemon as they drove to different locations looking for Snorlax.
Oh, my Lord.
And then after capturing the Snorlax, the officers traveled to another location to capture another Pokemon, a Togetic. I've never heard of that one. I'm an OG Pokemon fan, okay?
Yeah.
I was a fan of Pokemon back when there were just 100.
Wow.
Or 150. The men appealed the decision, arguing that the video was inadmissible because it was a private conversation and that they were improperly questioned without a lawyer present. So they were really throwing everything. They knew that they fucked up.
They're like, what's that thing that the person we arrested last week said when we brought him in? And then they just said exactly that.
I think it's because, like, they got questioned by their boss and they were like, the police questioned us. It's like, okay, well, that's not how the police officer works.
It's if like you're HR. A cop,
you, yeah, every time your boss talks to you, you have to have a lawyer present because it's the police questioning you. I don't know. Anyway, so that happened a long time ago. I guess they were in the process of appealing it and the court finally upheld it, saying, like, yeah, you fucked up. Next, a British surgeon has been struck off the medical register, meaning he can no longer practice medicine in the UK.
Legally, anyway.
After it was discovered that he had branded his initials on patients' livers during transplant procedures.
Okay, honestly, though, iconic.
Yeah, as I was reading this, I was like, Same. I would absolutely do that if I were a doctor.
Like, no one would even know the difference. How did people find out?
So they found out because one of the implants didn't take. And so another doctor was performing surgery and was like, whose initials are these on this liver?
Oh my God. I'm surprised they weren't like, this is a sign from God. Like,
right.
It's like a stain on a wall and then you think it's the Virgin Mary kind of thing where it's like, oh my God, you have been marked.
Especially because the surgeon's name was Jesus Christ.
JC.
So initially, this happened in like 2013. Uh-huh. It was discovered. In 2017, he pleaded guilty to 2 counts of assault. They charged him with assault because he used an electric beam to mark his initials onto 2 patients' livers during procedures.
How much time would this have taken him?
Surgery takes so long to begin
long.
With.
So long.
I've only had surgery once.
0 times for me.
I had my tonsils taken out. And it's so weird because it's like you fall asleep and then wake up immediately. But like days have passed.
Wow.
Also, my butt really hurt when I woke up. I've said this before.
Do you think that the inside of your colon has actually been initialized by that surgeon?
It was a really weird feeling that I was like, is this normal or was I violent?
Well, it's also like in certain things, I think it was my mom told me, I'm probably getting this wrong, but like when they did her hip for some reason, they had to like break her shoulder. They have to like move you in ways that you shouldn't be moved.
Right. So yeah, one of the patients also suffered from a bunch of mental health issues because of the ensuing press coverage and the trauma. So the guy pleaded guilty. He was sentenced to community orders, unpaid work, a fine of £10,000. And this has been like going back and forth through, I guess, the courts, but also the like medical practitioners tribunal, which is a very mystic kind of archaic name for... I don't know, group of doctors who decide everyone's fate.
I mean, I feel like his next career is extremely obvious. He should artist. Be a tattoo artist.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's right there.
Yeah, like, sir, why don't you write your name where everyone can see it? Nobody even knows that it's there except for you on the liver.
But that's kind of what makes it so exciting for him, I think.
Yeah, it is deeply weird.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
But, you know, like... potters get to have their artist mark at the bottom of their work. This is his artistry.
Yeah. Also, it's like you're getting a liver transplant. Like, take what you can get. Who cares if it's got initials on it? You have a new liver inside of you. Anyway, next. You may recall this story from an old episode of Unhappy Hour. I think we talked about it a couple years ago. There's a giant African rat named Magawa who is recognized for his life-saving work sniffing out landmines in Cambodia. Do
yes,
you remember him?
Of course.
Well,
never
guess
forget.
What? He's dead.
No. As we go on. Nope, that's for graduations.
We remember. All the landmines
we sniffed together. Wow, we didn't even practice that. We're so in sync.
So Magawa was a famous giant African rat who, over the course of his years-long career with this nonprofit group, he found more than 100 landmines.
Wow.
And other pieces of unexploded shit.
Icon.
The nonprofit described him as the most successful rat in the bomb-sniffing program to date.
I'm honestly so proud of him. He's, like, more accomplished
about this,
than me.
Because it's like, okay, so it's the thing just that they get... big rats to sniff them out and they're just disposable. So like every time they blow up, they're like, nope, he found one.
Bye.
But the reality is that they're light enough that they could sniff them out and not set them off.
Oh,
they're trained.
Skinny bitches.
Yeah, exactly. I wish. Okay, brag. You think you're so special just because you're light enough not to set off a landmine? The rats are trained to detect landmines and tuberculosis. I don't know how that works. Is tuberculosis when you have like metal in your lungs? No.
No. It's when you get nosebleeds like Satine.
Who
in
the
Moulin
fuck
Rouge.
Is Satine? Oh.
That's how I learned what tuberculosis... I'm sure we've talked about this before, but I remember they would like give you the tuberculosis test where they'd like poke you and then they'd like draw a smiley face around it to make you feel better. And I remember then watching Moulin Rouge and she had tuberculosis and I was like, that's why I get the smiley face.
Sure, I get it now. I thought tuberculosis was what they got because of people working in like factories.
I mean, maybe.
What is the secret? Tell us why that these rats can sniff out tuberculosis. Anyway, his achievement, the reason that we talked about it, it's because back in 2020, Magawa received a gold medal bestowed by the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals. It's basically the animal equivalent of the George Cross, which is a British honor given to civilians for acts of bravery. And he was the first ever rodent to receive this award in the charity's history.
He lived such a large life for such a little creature.
He's done more in his life than I ever will.
Oh, absolutely.
The article does say that Magawa was said to be partial to watermelon, banana, and peanuts when not sniffing for mines. Anyway, so I will be eating some watermelon, banana, and peanuts in Magawa's honor. Rest in peace, sweet prince. And finally, at least 44 people in 25 states have gotten sick from a recent salmonella outbreak, including 15 hospitalizations. And now the CDC is saying it's linked to pet bearded dragons.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What in the holes is this? That's what I have to say.
They have become a very popular pet. And by that, I mean, anecdotally, my sister's sister-in-law's family got one because a lot of their friends have them.
Yeah. I believe this article said that bearded dragons have become the number one lizard pet in the U.S.
I will say they've got cute little smiles.
But apparently they're just riddled with salmonella. So health officials said of the 33 infected people interviewed, this is what I love. I'd love to be like a person whose job is to like call people up who start violently shitting and being like, tell me about yourself. And then you do that to everybody and then you find out what they all have in common. It's like, let's get to know each other.
Yeah, it's a little health detective.
And so it turns out of the 33 people that they interviewed, 21 said that they owned or had touched a bearded dragon.
Wow.
And so they were like, got you, bitch. We found you. And so they tested a sample from one of the sick person's bearded dragons. And they were like, yep, he's got salmonella. So bearded dragons, I guess, like most reptiles, carry salmonella bacteria in their intestinal tract, which they shed when they shit.
That's so cute.
If you're just going around kind of touching bearded dragon shit all over the place, like rubbing on your face and teeth.
I mean, it's a great moisturizer.
You're probably gonna die. No people have died. You might get sick. Touching or holding a reptile doesn't mean someone will get it unless they're contaminated with feces or the reptile comes in contact with a person's mouth. Do you hear that, white people? Don't let your dragon lick you in the mouth.
What's the point of having a pet if you can't let them lick you in the mouth?
Because it's disgusting.
Just kidding. I really don't like licking.
And that's it for this week's Worst Things First.
And just a little housekeeping note. You all send so many amazing stories that are great for Worst Things First, but you send it to us via message, like you DM us on Instagram, and then I, who barely can use Instagram, can't then share them, and we want to be able to share the things that you share with us. So here is my humble, shameless request. When you want to share a story with us, go ahead and share that to your Instagram story and tag us, and then we will repost it. It's going to be so fun. Mm-hmm. It's called community engagement, baby.
Sure, 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 sure. And obviously, you want even more of us, so you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBelisai, where you'll get video of Worst Things First stories, also a special separate podcast feed of our bonus stories every single week. It's basically a bonus episode that shows up right in your podcast app. So head to Patreon.com/MattBelisai. I also have all of my Patreon archives. We have video of guest complainers up there, so you'll get a whole bunch. Next, we're diving deep into the worst parts of TikTok. More like shit talk, am I right?
Oh.
Right after this commercial break. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Who celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimon Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge, and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right. So if you've been listening to the past few episodes of Unhappy Hour, you know I have developed an unhealthy, almost pathological addiction to TikTok practically overnight. Okay. I don't know. Initially, I thought that TikTok was just like, I don't know, where white teens went to embarrass themselves learning how to dance.
Right.
I was like, there's just no way I'm going to bother with another app right now. My brain is already under assault from the rest of the internet. I can't take this. There is no way I'm ever opening this godforsaken app. And then I made the mistake of opening that fucking program on my phone. And now I am hopelessly shackled to it. I looked up on my phone how much screen time I spent every day on average. And it's 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Wait, just on TikTok? Oh, Matthew.
To be fair, that calculation was the past week, which also included the time I was in Chicago doing nothing at home.
Okay, sure.
So we'll see if that changes. It's so easy. It sucks you in so quickly.
It just, you go from one to the next to the next.
For people who are unfamiliar with how TikTok works, TikTok is a video app. They're all under at least 3 minutes. And unlike any other social media platform, it's very easy to just open TikTok and scroll, and you don't have to be following anybody. No. It just shows you random videos.
Yep.
It starts to learn what you respond to and what you like, and we'll show you more of that. But in general, it just shows you random stuff.
Uh-huh.
The number of times that I've been showed the TikTok that pops up that says like, hey, you've been on this for a little too long.
Yeah, which I have not gotten. I did not know that was a thing, and it is sad.
I think it kicks in after like an hour. And it'll be a little message that pops up. It's like still a TikTok.
It's like the continue watching on Netflix, but like more depressing.
It's weird because it's like it's from TikTok, the account, or TikTok tips. And
right.
It's like, hey, you've been scrolling for a while. You might want to go take a walk. So the point here is that I've now spent enough time on TikTok to form a number of violent opinions about the content there. The absolute worst garbage that app produces on the regular. You may recall during the Grumpy Awards episode that I did, I foreshadowed this very deep dive by bitching about one of the worst trends of last year that I personally was pissed by, which is the making lunch for my husband.
Right.
TikTok
yes.
trend, which was just a bunch of women being like, here's what I packed for my husband today. He wasn't happy with last week's meals. So here's how I tried to make it more exciting. And it's like, girl, blink twice if you need help. Anyway, that was just the tip of the iceberg. So let's get into it. This is the worst kinds of TikToks. First, recipe videos that somehow travel at the speed of light. I don't understand why. I'm never going to make this food.
No, it's not helpful.
I don't understand. I can barely my brain does not have the time to process what ingredients you're even showing me before you've absolutely annihilated them and turned them into something else.
You're not taking me to Flavortown.
This is not informative. Yeah, do you think Guy Fieri has these kinds of aggressive skills?
No,
he's treating every piece of shredded cheese that he puts on top of his nachos with care, with delicate handling.
Yeah.
Be more like Guy Fieri. That's what I have to say. Fieri.
Yeah. That is, I mean, that's just the advice that I take every single morning.
Yeah. Wake up, put your flame shirt on, dye your hair.
Yeah.
And spike that shit up.
Yeah.
Go out and fuck the world. That's what I approach the world as if it is a pile of butter that you are about to put your dick in. There's one guy in particular who he makes this stuff so fast. That's like the point. It's kind of ASMR-y where I'm just like, it is more stressful than it is calming because you're moving so quickly. I can barely keep my eyes on the knife. Next, TikTok blows their load over brie.
Brie cheese?
Wheels of brie. They will put brie in fucking anything.
What is this, 1995?
The number of recipe videos that are just people putting wheels of brie inside store-bought puff pastry and calling that an appetizer.
No.
Go fuck yourself. First of all, I don't want to eat an entire wheel of cheese. Sorry, I know that's controversial to my listeners.
It's also like kind of a little shocking.
I know. Nobody is more surprised by this stance than I am, but I'm not just going to pop an entire wheel of brie into my mouth.
No.
Second of all, I know I just recently got on this high horse, but if you buy store-bought puff pastry, you're a piece of shit.
It's just like not that hard to make puff pastry.
It's not hard to make, even though I know everybody on Great British Bake Off, whenever they have to make puff pastry, is like, who would ever make their own puff pastry? Even Mary Berry was like, I will never do this again. I just buy it homemade. And I'm like, that's why I'm better than Mary Berry.
Right.
Okay, that's why I'm alive and she's dead.
I'm like, I like actually see dead. A little red target on your forehead right now.
It's true. The point is, just stop putting brie in shit. Next, straight guy roommates that have shared accounts. Maybe this is very specific.
But there are. I'm so glad I'm not. I didn't go to college now. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I went to college before. Even Instagram came out when we were in college. Like, I thank the Lord.
Yeah.
To imagine what the men I slept with in college would have done if they had TikTok is upsetting to me. Because I'm like, oh, I can like name three guys off the top of my head who probably would have had those accounts.
There was one TikTok that I loved that was like a girl being like, when you get super attracted to a guy based on his like a video that he posted, but then you remember that he had to film himself doing that.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like, yeah, nothing is more like boner killing than picturing someone like setting up their phone to take a video of themselves.
Yep, absolutely.
We're all just humiliations. But there is a specific brand of straight guys. Maybe it's just one account that I'm thinking of in particular, but it's these two guys who are roommates and they post like very homoerotic content. I don't know if it's intentional or not. They'll like sing songs and like surprise one another. And I'm like, you know what you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing. This is definite queer baiting and I don't like it. Which also brings me to another one, which is just straight guys in general who are queer baiting. Obviously a long trend on the internet.
Yeah.
But there are entire thirst trap accounts of guys posting like shirtless photos, all of the kind of, you know, there was that trend for a while that was people holding like a light. It would start off with them clothed and then the lights would go off and they'd be holding a ring light behind them and you'd see all of their abs.
Right.
And
it's really easy for me to do that one.
Exactly.
Yep.
By the way, if I could pull that off, I would absolutely have done it, but rest assured that if I ever have a six pack, I'll become the most insufferable person alive. This is such a trend that it has now spawned a brand of TikToker that is calling out straight guys who are queer baiting.
Oh boy.
So there's one guy in particular I know who will expose straight guys who post thirst traps, and he'll be like, oh, you got all of these sponsorships from like gay brands. I'm going to contact all of these gay brands and let them know that you have a girlfriend and you're lying.
Wow.
Next. This is a trend that needs to be stopped across the internet. Self-facing videos that people post of themselves crying. The number of people who decide when they're sad,
yep,
when they're crying, when mm-hmm. they're in this low moment, to open up the camera on their phone, press the little icon that turns the camera around and faces themselves, and hit record, and then go through the steps of posting that video.
Right.
Unhinged.
Because it immediately becomes a performance.
It's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's exactly. It's no longer genuine.
Yeah.
These emotions are now fabricated. It is so weird. I will never have that impulse.
No, the only time that I've ever taken a selfie of myself crying was watching the 6 Feet Under finale, because I was like, this is the one time.
Yeah.
You know, also because it was like my feelings weren't real. You know what I mean? Like, right. Like the TV show made me do it. And I was like, and I knew that this show was one that had like a devastating, in a good way, finale. And it was like a shared thing.
Yeah.
But like to actually for real cry, it's like, no, I don't want anybody seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, that is the one, like after you've watched something or listened to some, like, you know, a new release where you're kind of sharing your reaction to that thing. Yes. I feel like there is a trend among people who it's like they just went through a breakup,
yeah,
and they'll post a video being like, it's so unfair. And it'll have like dramatic music and like a single tear rolls down. And it's like, don't do this. You're embarrassing all of us. Relatedly, the other one is people who post, this is a trend specific to TikTok in my experience. And maybe it is because maybe this is like on Facebook and I'm just not exposed to it because I'm not really scrolling on Facebook. But people who post devastating personal trauma. And I mean this literally, because the thing with TikTok is that because it's so random, you scroll across things that you just would never normally see.
Right.
And I am always expecting to be like surprised or like laugh.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I will be watching a TikTok waiting for the joke. And I'm like, oh, someone, I kid you not, posted a video of their family finding out that like their sibling had died.
And it didn't then just like pop out of a room being like, just kidding. Punked.
No, it was not a prank.
It was actually.
It was like, because a lot of people have like ring lights or like home cameras,
yeah,
in their like living rooms or something to watch their pets or their babies. And they were like, here's the moment that we all found out. Like we got the call that my brother died or something. It was like, why are you posting this? The fact that this video exists is like horrifying for, yeah, you and your family. Why would you post that on the internet to an app that I am going to scroll across randomly and watch expecting to laugh and be like, oh my God.
You know what's actually more devastating? Your experience in that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. But there's that. There's people who post like, yeah, their dog's dying.
No, no, can't do that.
There was one trend for a while that was like they'd play Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Uh-huh.
And then right when it hits the like the happiest part of the song, there's like a thing that it does to the sound where it stops and it becomes like an echo.
Uh-huh.
And people would use that through the first half of it. They would post like all of these happy pictures. And the second half, they would post like the breakup photo or the graveyard.
Oh, my God.
And then it's like you watch that and you think you're just looking at like a happy couple. And then it's like someone posting how his wife died from cancer.
That's how I want to be memorialized for sure.
Truly the stuff that people choose to post, I don't understand it.
I do. I'm like, just like take for like 1 second, just realize that like literally anyone in the world can see this.
Yeah.
Anybody in the world.
Oh, my other, this one I kind of love secretly is, I've seen this multiple times where it's like a group of young women standing around as if they're going to make a group video together. And then it turns out that one of them is actually confronting another one for sleeping with her boyfriend.
It's like an intervention.
It'll start off with someone starting the video who's in the front and they were like, hey guys, we just wanted to jump on and talk about how Stephanie has been sleeping with my boyfriend for the last 3 weeks and she thinks I don't know about it. And Stephanie will be in the background. And you just see her face like go dark. Yes. That is the thing, though, is that, like, there's drama like that that I'm like, now I'm going to waste the next 2 hours of my life going down this rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
Because then, of course, Stephanie will be posting her side of it.
Yep.
Which brings me to my other point, which is when people post a video, it blows up, and then they have to post, like, a part two because they have to explain it. And the first 10 minutes of every one of these videos is them being like, hey guys, I just wanted to jump on. I had no idea this was going to blow up as big as it did. Okay, when I posted that, I did not think anybody would see it. And this is the speed that they talk at. They're like, I did not think anybody would see it. I posted that. It was 4 a.m. on a Friday. Okay, I was having my coffee. And then, like, a lot of you saw it and you had questions. So first of all, thank you for everybody for asking questions. And it's like, if you don't answer the fucking question in the first 3 seconds, I'm scrolling.
Bye.
What else? Hot guys with weird hobbies is another one that has sucked me in, much to my dismay.
What's weird hobby?
There's one guy you may be familiar with who just chops wood.
Oh, no, I'm into that for sure. That's like my TikTok is like mostly dog content. And then also I would say that is under cottagecore. So yeah. I definitely get some of that.
The problem is he started to get on my nerves a little bit because he only has one skill. And it is, it's like chopping wood and being super hot.
Right.
People will call him out and be like, oh, you're faking this. Or like, actually that's like a dry piece of wood or like it has a knot in it. So it's making it easier. Or you're using this type of axe.
so much on
TikTok. And so he'll keep posting videos like responding to haters, but he has this kind of like macho attitude that's like, you're questioning my masculinity, and he responds to it in a way that is like, I don't know, no, you're not an ally.
No, like I came here because I actually find this to be very gentle, because like, what are you doing with the wood? You're then making me a fire.
Yeah. Also, I've never seen him do anything with the actual
wood. What is he doing with all that wood?
But the related one, and granted, I do love this account so much, is a guy with the fattest ass I've ever seen on a presumable straight man who has a pet squirrel that he just lets like jump all over his taint.
And you enjoy this? You noted squirrel hater? Matt Bellassai?
It's because this man, who's the most beautiful man alive, is just running around with a squirrel.
You're just jealous of that squirrel.
Jumping all over that cake. And it is shocking, honestly. Another beef I have is people who are absolutely simping for Trader Joe's. Okay, listen, I love Trader Joe's as much as the next hoe. I'll bend over in Trader Joe's and let the entire staff run an absolute train on me. I'm not going to post an entire TikTok of me shopping every aisle of Trader Joe's and what items I pick out.
They can pay you to do that.
Exactly.
Trader Joe's, if you're listening, Joe, you can pay Matt to
Joseph,
do that.
You have my number, Joe. Next, that woman who gives financial tips.
Oh,
well, she'll be like,
tell her the lawyer sent you. That girl.
Yeah.
I've gotten her videos.
If your airline delays you for more than 20 minutes, you can walk up to the counter and say, excuse me, you owe me $1,000. And if they ask you, how did you learn this trick? Tell them Stephanie from TikTok sent you. And it's like, no one is ever going to do this.
Yeah, because also like, okay, now I have that knowledge. Great. But I don't have the confidence to actually like ask anything of a customer service rep.
Can you imagine going up to someone in public, like with your body?
Yeah, no.
And saying from your mouth, I heard on TikTok that if I say this word, that you have to give me my entire flight for free. No, they'll laugh at you. They'll laugh at right in your face. There's also an entire genre of people who are customer service employees who just do fully dramatized reenactments of the arguments that they have with customers. I am kind of obsessed with it. Or it'll be like, yeah, welcome to Yankee Candles. How can I help you? And then they'll cut to them as the customer and they'll act out the entire dialogue. And there are like multi-part videos. And finally, motherfucking air fryer content.
We could do a whole goddamn deep dive just about air fryers.
How dare this app make me want to buy an air fryer?
Which is convention oven.
It is just an oven for your countertop.
With a fun drawer.
Yeah, it's got a little drawer and it's a fan. It's a fan. It's not frying anything.
Nope.
It's a full oven with a fan.
Yep.
That is just your oven, probably.
And it takes 2 minutes less to do things in it than it does on the stove.
I do think it probably heats up way faster than a stove.
I know. But
an oven.
Yeah, but like that much faster that it
like imagine, okay, now I'm becoming an air fryer salesman. Now I'm becoming an air fryer salesman because you forced me.
What are you
going to
do with that extra time? Spend more time on TikTok?
Yeah.
It's all a cycle.
Imagine I make at the beginning of the year 12 months worth of chocolate chip cookie dough. I have it in the freezer. Okay. Every time you're at my apartment, are we going to preheat the oven all the way to 350? And then
yes.
Wait?
Yes. If you had frozen cookie dough in the oven, yes. We absolutely would do that.
Or that takes like 30 minutes to preheat the oven.
Where I'm not going anywhere.
Or you just fire up the air fryer. It takes 1 minute. And then you have hot, delicious cookies. I'm just saying. And they're only like $99.
You know what it basically is? What were those kid baking ovens?
Easy Bake Oven.
Easy Bake Ovens.
It's an Easy Bake Oven. That was some light bulb. It was like a 4-watt white bulb that everyone was like, yeah, let me bake you a cake. It'll be ready in 5 hours. Oh, fuck. I wanted an Easy Bake Oven so bad.
I know. I think instead, we had one, but it like didn't have any of the stuff to make anything in it. So it was basically just like for Barbies.
We got the boy version, which is it made creepy crawlers, they were called.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Which was just like inedible.
Oh, yeah.
It just was like goo that you put in and it would make like a little toy. But all it was plastic that you put in and it would melt it into a different shape. And it smelled so bad. And it would make me gag. I fully would walk around. My brother would plug it in and I'd be like, no. Because it would activate my gag reflex. So he'd be making like a little scorpion and I'd be in the corner just dry.
It's a perfect image of your childhood.
I used to scream when my brother would make... my mom bought this Egg McMuffin because my brother loves Egg McMuffins, the like breakfast sandwich from, I don't even know, do they still make Egg McMuffins?
I don't fucking know.
At McDonald's. And my mom bought this little container that you like crack an egg into and then you microwave it.
Yeah, I hate that smell. I know exactly that smell.
The smell of microwave eggs.
Disgusting.
Is pure sulfur.
Yep.
And I used to scream and cry whenever my brother wanted to make a sandwich. I'd literally be in another room screeching.
God, you sound like the worst little brother ever.
Anyway, on that note, that's it for this week's deep dive. Shout out to TikTok for absolutely ruining my life. We're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. Barry, what are we highlighting this week?
I think I brought this up like a couple months ago, but it's back for season 2. So I wanted to remind people, if you don't already subscribe to Undistracted, the podcast, it's Undistracted with Brittany Packnett Cunningham. Uh-huh. It's a fantastic podcast. I do feel like I need to put a disclaimer and say that Pineapple does make the show with the Meteor, but I'm telling you, like, I listen to the show every week. Brittany is an amazing, amazing activist and podcast host. It's a weekly news and interview show. And the whole point is that it's through the lens of intersectional feminism. It is on my weekly rotation. They talk about news stories that have kind of like what they call untrending news stories. And it just, it really is an amazing show. And I really, really recommend it. So it's back for season 2. And if you're not already subscribing, I really think that you should. So that is what we're highlighting this week. Undistracted with Brittany.
Nice. Let's get into the TV we're watching this week. What have you been watching?
I've been watching everything that could possibly be on TV, but I specifically want to shout out a show that I started watching because of Landscapers.
Uh-huh.
So Landscapers was created by, it was co-created, and one of the co-creators is Will Sharp, who is this British-Japanese actor, writer, filmmaker, and I really like his style, and I found out that he has another show that is on Netflix called Flowers. That's 2 seasons long. They're 20-minute episodes, and there's only 6 episodes per season. It's a comedy about this like really fucking dysfunctional family, and it also stars Olivia Colman.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only watched 2 episodes so far, but I am fully obsessed with it. I love it so much. Like, it is, I don't really think that there are other things I've seen like it. The pacing, it's like super quick and so weird. And you're just like immediately dropped into these absolute weirdos' lives. And it is laugh out loud funny. It is weird. So it's not like you're, it's not a sitcom.
Okay.
I really am into it though. So that is what I've been watching this week. What about you?
I've been watching an older show. I guess season two just came out. The Witcher.
Yeah.
I tried watching the first season like a while ago. It might have been too soon after Game of Thrones.
And also, I was like the first season is, I mean, Melissa, our other producer, Melissa, and I actually worked on the behind the scenes podcast of The Witcher. So she and I are very, very knowledgeable about this show. I can tell you, we've like read the books, everything. And the first season did a lot of like time jumping that was confusing.
Yeah, I definitely would not. I started looking up like YouTube videos to explain it. Yeah. I need to listen to the podcast now that I've...
That'll be very helpful. Trust me, it's very helpful.
Yeah.
But I want to watch season two because it's like, it gets to the point then where it's like one timeline right. And like an ongoing story.
But I remember I saw a tweet of someone being like, don't go into The Witcher thinking it's Game of Thrones. Think of it as like Xena Warrior Princess.
Ooh.
And because campy is not the right word, but it's much more like, it's not supposed to be as like realistic as Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It is a little more
it's
like,
more mythological.
Yeah. It definitely like video gamey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also like Henry Cavill is literally the most beautiful man alive. I know I've said that about a lot of people. But that man, I don't understand it.
No. And his love of his dog, obviously, to me, like that combo it's hard to handle.
Yeah. It's honestly upsetting.
Yeah.
And I enjoy every minute of it. Anyway, so The Witcher, I'm like halfway through season two.
Nice.
What is your non-TV chaser?
Well, I have two. One real quick is that for those who have been clamoring for Joe Parra Talks With You season three, but hasn't been able to watch because it's on Adult Swim, it is now on HBO Max, people.
Oh.
Get your joy on. Get your calming little sweet little weird joy on.
Uh-huh.
But my other non-TV chaser, because that technically is TV, is I started doing this because when my back was really bad, I was having to take baths and I don't have a bathtub here. So I've started just doing like every single night taking a really hot shower and just getting it really steamy. And it's such a nice, relaxing way to end the day and just like force my body and therefore my mind to just like calm. And I have a little lavender essential oil in the bathroom. So I just like add that to the shower and the humidity is nice. And usually I leave a fan on, but because it's the winter, I've been leaving the fan off so that the humidity also just like goes throughout the house a little bit. And it's just been a really nice calming way to end the day. So it has been truly bringing me joy.
Nice.
I really need a speaker for my shower. That's the one thing that I need to do to just up my shower game.
True.
What about you?
Well, I'll keep mine thematically similar.
Okay.
And say I bought a new shower head. Ladies, am I right? I don't know. I've gotten way, way worse at impulse buying stuff.
Good.
And I don't know, one day I was like, man, I really wish I had a better shower head. Oh, right. I could just buy one. And so I looked it up. There were a few suggestions, but one of them was like the highest rated one. It's got like a huge, it's like a giant circle.
Uh-huh.
So it feels like a
waterfall.
Waterfall. Yeah. But also it's got like a magnetic handheld piece.
Oh.
Which I had in my last apartment and have missed horribly.
Yeah.
Although that has been abated a bit by my Tushy bidet. Because obviously everyone knows the best part of a handheld shower thing is that you can get up there.
Real deep.
Yeah. But I have been missing that. And it was so easy to install too.
I love that. I need to get one of those, but for a different reason, which is to wash my dog.
Oh.
Because we use a pitcher and it's not fun.
Yeah. Honestly, that now that you said that, that's why I looked it up is because I like deep cleaned my bathroom and the shower, the smell of bleach, I used way too much.
Oh no.
It was so powerful. And I realized I couldn't really get the water off the wall unless I like filled a bucket and just like threw it at the wall. Like, cause the shower head wouldn't like aim that far. I was like, I really wish I had a hose attachment that I could kind of, you know, rinse the wall with.
Yeah.
That's what led to it.
Well, there you go.
A much more wholesome reason than my hole. Anyway, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening on Happy Hour. If you want more on Happy Hour shit, and obviously you do, you can head straight to my Patreon page. You'll get video of bonus Worst Things First stories, video of some of our past guest complainer interviews, an entire separate podcast feed that's got all of our bonus stories every single week. So it's like a second day of Unhappy Hour stuff that you get. Plus, you can buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. And as always, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Audacy. That's AUDACY. Wherever you get podcasts, follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Han Seosu. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Record, record,
record, record, record, we're recording.